Hello and welcome again to Mornings for the Master, a program that is heard each weekday here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAleer and I'm the host for your Thursday editions of Mornings for the Master. Mornings for the Master has a different host each day of the week and a different course of study. And on our Thursday program, at this time, we are studying the book of John. And today we come into chapter 14 as we begin to look at Jesus' farewell discourses. So let's consider now and get right into our study today concerning these instructions of Jesus here as he draws closer to the cross. I would remind you that this program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it is posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website within a day or two. So let's get right into our study for today. John chapter 14, and we begin with verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. So chapter 14 begins as Jesus has told the apostles that he would soon be leaving them. But he wants to encourage and give them reassurance about the future. And he begins to tell them of the work that they will accomplish. Now remember that at this time that the 11 are quite disconcerted and distressed. They are certainly angry with Judas. And on top of that, Peter has just been told by Jesus that he was going to deny him three times. They were a stressed and confused group of men. But we see in Jesus his great compassion for his disciples. Jesus knew that he was only a few hours away from his arrest. But yet, here it was where he was the one consoling his friends when it should have been the other way around. Jesus told them to believe in the Father God and to believe in him and to believe that he would come again and to believe in the reality of heaven. In verse 5 now, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Thomas might as well have been speaking for all of the disciples at this point. This was certainly what was on all of them's mind. They still did not understand. They still had the mindset and thinking in their head that Jesus was going to establish an earthly kingdom. Many people still, sadly, are waiting for that same thing in this present age. But Jesus is pointing them to the spiritual. Jesus is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. And He is the only avenue to the Father. So many today, because they reject Jesus, Islam, Buddhism, and the like are with no hope. Even if the mantra of this present age is acceptance, there is still no hope. If there is no Jesus, there is no Father. There is no heaven. There is no eternity. In verse 7, he continues, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Philip asked Jesus to show us the Father in a visible way. But yet, Philip had spent 3 years with Jesus, and he should have recognized the Father in Jesus. But Philip and all of the others, they were still not understanding. Jesus was in the Father, and the Father in him, as he would point out. We especially see this unity in chapter 17 when we get there. Philip should have understood at this point. However, they would soon understand and turn the world upside down with the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now Jesus gives them the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit was not new, but this was a new dispensation coming, and the Holy Spirit would play a different role, a new role. But we must understand the Holy Spirit is eternal. The Spirit can be seen all the way back in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, in verses 26 and 27, among other places, even in the earliest of times. In verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. Jesus said, If you love me, keep my commandments. Christians that truly love the Lord will take great delight, and they will find much joy in keeping the commandments, because that is how we show our love for Christ. This certainly is one of the ways that the wheat is separated from the chaff. For it will be more than lip service. It will be demonstrated by fruit bearing through good works. Jesus loved his disciples and promised to send them the Holy Spirit after he returned to the Father. The Holy Spirit would be with man forever. The Holy Spirit is the revealer and the giver of all truth. The New Testament writers would, as individual men, work under the direct influence of the Holy Spirit. He would guide the apostles into all truth and give them the words to speak at the right time and at the right places. What an amazing promise we find Jesus giving in verse 20. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Jesus is at one with the Father, and the disciple is in Christ, and Christ is in the disciple. Truly, those who claim to love Christ, but yet do not keep his commandments, are living a lie, and the truth is not in them. By sending the Holy Spirit, this was certainly another great display of the incomparable love of Jesus for men. Let's pick up in verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father. for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. The Spirit would come as Jesus prophesied in verse 16, when he said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit would teach them. This promise, in the direct sense, was given to the apostles. But in the indirect sense, he teaches us today. He teaches us through the word that was given to our first century brethren and recorded for the ages. Indeed, we are taught the doctrine of the apostles that was given to them by the Holy Spirit. In verse 30, Jesus said, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Jesus is fully aware that his work is almost done, and that he would be with his disciples only a short time more. Verse 31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, and let us go from here. The greatest act of love ever seen was about to occur. Jesus Christ was about to take upon his shoulders the sin of every man and woman that had ever lived up to that point. He was going to also take upon his shoulders the sin of every man and woman living at that time. And also upon his shoulders would be the sin of every man and woman that would come in the future. I'm reminded of a beautiful hymn that we sing from time to time. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I had spurned. Till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. And so, in verse 31, Jesus said, Arise, let us go from here. Now, Jesus still has more to say in this farewell discourse. But when he is finished, by chapter 18, they are headed toward the Garden of Gethsemane. And so, as we continue now, let us turn our attention to chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father. The Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Now let's consider first that Jesus is the true vine. Go back now to the first 6 verses of chapter 15. I am the true vine, and the Father is the vine dresser. Each branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Now the setting here in chapter 15, in all likelihood, is still in the upper room. They had just partaken the Passover supper, which included the fruit of the vine. And Jesus points out to the disciples that he is the true vine. But Israel had been a vine that was dying, and it was about to be pruned, for it was failing to bear fruit in the vineyard of the Lord. Jesus refers to the disciples, or the church, as the branches that are connected to the true vine when we abide in him. Now, many false teachers today attempt to equate the branches to the various denominations of the world today. But there is nothing here to suggest that. Jesus spoke to those who truly followed him and his teachings only, and certainly not the teachings of men. And he pointed out that branches that do not bear fruit are cut down and thrown into the fire. Judas would be pruned from the vine, and the faithful 11 would be nurtured by the Lord. Now in verse 4 we see a conditional requirement for these blessings. Notice what Jesus said. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. When a saint abides in the doctrine of Christ, the Lord in turn will abide in him. But a saint must walk in harmony with Christ for Christ to abide in him. Think of the words of the prophet Amos in chapter 3 and verse 3. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Now Jesus said in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Those disciples that do not fruitfully abide in Christ will be pruned and cast off. They fall from grace. They die, and they are quickly cut off like a branch from the vine. In verse 7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." The incredible blessings of abiding in Jesus Christ. The one who abides in Christ will have his prayers heard and answered. The reason is that the one who is truly abiding in Christ will seek only for the will of the Father in his prayers, and the Lord's will be done. The Father is glorified by the Christian that loves Jesus and keeps his commandments. When we abide in Christ, we are fruitful. Those who are not fruitful are not abiding in Christ. It is of paramount importance that we continually abide in Christ. Go to verse 9. "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." We see there how the love of God and man is intertwined. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves the disciples. The disciple, we must remain in the love of Christ, because when we do this, it keeps us attached to the Father. The way we do this, the way we show this love, is by keeping the commandments. Jesus stayed as one with the Father by keeping the precepts of the Father. And we stay as one and with full love and fellowship with God when we keep the commandments and we are filled with love. If we do not keep the commandments, Jesus said, we do not love. Verse 11, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Again, oh, what a blessing for those who abide in Christ to have life that is full of joy. The joy that comes from a Christian faithfully abiding in Christ Jesus. Verse 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Some of our brethren act as if love is an optional matter. But we are commanded to love. Jesus loved us, and the least that we can do in return is to love one another. The ultimate love is found in verse 13. The willingness to lay down one's life for a friend. That is exactly the love that Jesus Christ had for you and me. The just one died for the unjust. There should be nothing that one would not do for a fellow Christian. Jesus also points out that if we keep his commandments, we are his friends, and that we are important. He cares for us. A friend is given more information than a servant is given. The relationship is closer. It is nearer. We can have the relationship of a friend. But those people who say they are in Christ but do not keep his commandments are liars, and in truth, they have zero fellowship with God. Verse 17 summed up what Jesus is trying to convey, and that is, we are to love one another. Let's go to verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me because it hated before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. The world will not look at Christians as we look at each other. If you display the light of Christ in your life, the world will hate you. If you have not felt the hatred of the world, it might be time for some self-examination. The world will hate a Christian because a Christian is not like the world. Why then is the church so hated by the world around us? It is because the church is not like the world around us. Notice verse 20 that we looked at. There Jesus promised persecution toward us. Jesus though would Let them know that the world would reject by and large. But in verse 26, he said, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." The Holy Spirit would be with them, and they would bear witness. They would take the gospel into all the world, and those who would respond to that gospel and continue to abide in Christ would have Christ and have eternal life. The inspired men, the apostles, and those upon whom they laid hands received the revelations, and through the guidance of the Spirit would write those things down. And you and I today are now thoroughly equipped because of these preserved writings. The perfect word has been passed to us, and we no longer need to have direct revelation. That revelation which died out with the death of the last upon whom the apostles laid hand, it's not necessary, for the perfect word has been preserved for us. And praise be to God for this precious book, divine. And so, from this chapter, we find that without Jesus, there is no life for any of us. Though some may try to claim denominations to be the various branches, there is no scriptural backing to that. The branches are the saints, those who are faithful and true disciples. And if we are truly saved, we will bear fruit. God has joined together love and commandment keeping. And we must be showing our love daily by keeping His commandments. I want to thank you for joining me today. If the Lord wills, we will continue to look at these final discourses of Jesus. Next week, we'll look at chapter 16. I hope that you'll join me. Again, remember, this program will be rebroadcast this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for Mornings for the Master. Your host will be Preston McElyea. We'll look forward to that program. And avail yourself to the programming throughout the day here on TGRN. There is solid gospel teaching, beautiful gospel hymns that you can avail yourself to. A much better choice than much of those things that the world has to offer to take up your time. Again, I've enjoyed being with you. And if the Lord wills, I'll see you next week at this same time. So till then, so long, have a great day, and may God bless you.